This is the Baptist Bible Seminary. It's the second year, rather second semester of the first year Greek class. And this is the second class. The date is January 24, 1985, lessons 25 through 26 and a half, pages 81 through 86, paragraphs 189 through 203. The textbook is Beginner's Grammar of the Greek New Testament by William Hershey Davis, the teacher, Dr. D.A. Waite, director. Bible for today, 900 Park Avenue, Collingswood, New Jersey. The date is January 24th, 1985.
Let's have a word of class tonight. Dear Lord, we thank Thee again for this class that Thou hast given to us in the Greek language, and we pray for each of these young men who have come to study. We ask for a safe journey for Manny as he travels in the snow and in the expressway traffic. And we thank Thee for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the rock of our salvation and the one to whom we can look for help, for help in all sorts of difficulties and troubles, and can praise in our joys as well as our sorrows. And for our families, be with and strengthen Phil as he's sick in the bronchitis area and other areas. Help me with my throat and ear and various other things, and Larry as well, and perhaps Steve and Manny, all of us. The weather has gotten a hold, so Lord, strengthen our health and strengthen our spirits and guide us now by the Holy Spirit as we review this work tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. All right, we'll go right ahead with the review then. Tonight we have our second lesson in the second semester, which is lessons 25 and the half of 26. So 25, let's review the vocabulary there. True would be what? The adjective true. Masculine, feminine, neuter. Alethenos. Then alethene, alethenon, right? Alethenos, alethene, alethenon. And the life. Don't forget your article. The life. Obvios. 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 All right? The devil. Diabolos. All right? There, that is in that place, adverb there.
A K.
All right, then let's go to the next vocabulary, keeping in vocabulary, and then we'll go back to the other. The blood. Now, these are third declension, neuter. The blood.
Tahyma.
All right, tahyma. Hematology and so on. Anemic, no blood. Anemic. The letter of the alphabet, a letter of the alphabet, or writing. The letter, I should say, with the article?
Togramma.
Togramma. How about grandpa? How about the will? The will.
Tothelema.
Tothelema. All right, Tothelema. All right. The name? Tohonoma. Onomatopoeia. Tohonoma. Anonymous. Namelessness. The spirit? Tophnelma. All right, Tophnelma. Nama. The sword, or the word, excuse me, the word.
Tarema.
Tarema. Yeah, they almost aspirate that.
Oh, that's a
rough breed.
That's a rough breed.
Yeah, get that rough breed. Every row that begins a word has a rough breathing on it. Oh, here's a friend. All right, the body is what? Excuse me, the mouth. Like, oh, the seed, I guess we got the seed. Eating, man. How's the weather?
Snowing. The expressway.
Wasn't
it
too bad?
Well, I had to leave
work
late, so
on the
6:10
I left.
Yeah.
Pretty
good time.
Boy, that is good time. So the seed is what? Sperma. The sperma, right? The sperma, or the mouth? Stomach. Like stomach. All right. The body.
Stoma.
Here's the long omega. Stoma. The free gift or gift. Charisma. All right. Charisma. The holy, or excuse me, adjective holy. Masculine, feminine, neuter.
Hagia.
Not togagios. This is the adjective, see, so you wouldn't have the article. Just Hagias. Hagias. Hagia. Hagion. Hagia. Hagia. Hagion. So this is the, that's the rough reading. Don't forget the rough reading there. Those are vocabularies. All right, the second aorist subjunctive active in the middle of lapo. Subjunctive, we what?
Lipo.
Right again. Second aorist, active subjunctive. This is active. It would be lipo, lipe. Lipomen, lipete, liposis. Notice the lip root, which is the aorist root. It's a shortened root from lape, lapo, lip. So, and no augment because the subjunctive has no augment. Now the middle.
Well, then, let's do a translation on that that makes it.
Oh, that, that I might leave. See, that, be careful that I might leave all of a sudden. That, well, I hope that I might not leave, see, all of a sudden. In this life, I hope I have a lingering illness.
Okay.
Taken.
But
no, not if you want. Wherever the Lord is ready. That's the idea.
Translating. Listen.
That's that I might leave all of a sudden. There is the
okay.
Point.
That's
accuracy.
The point that you have to really know.
Right.
It's hard to translate
not the past,
it in
not
English.
In the past.
It's hard to translate it in English to understand because if we took lapo. Which was the present.
Lapo, yeah, right. Uh-huh.
Then we would translate that in the
that I might
subjunctive.
Continue.
I might continue. But it was in English, unless we put continue to leave.
That's right. It would be
the same. I might, what would you say? I might be leaving?
Well, I might leave.
It would be very difficult.
I might leave slowly, see, gradually.
Okay.
Take a gradual departure, see.
But normally, if you really put it up there, both of them in English, you put them by side, you couldn't tell the difference.
No, that's right.
I might leave.
That's
but
right.
You'd have to know.
You'd have to know the Greek to get underneath it. That's right.
Okay.
And that's true. In any English translation, like it's a good faithful, now you have some of these idiomatic translations, and you have Kenneth Wiest's translation, which is full and uses the Greek tenses, you know, and so on, and brings out the aorist and the subjunctive. Kenneth S. Wiest. Former teacher of Greek for many years at the Moody Bible Institute. Treasures out of the Greek New Testament and Bypass in the Greek New Testament and Tools of the Greek New Testament. He's written a number of books.
He has a translation out?
He has a translation. It used to be three volumes, not in one volume. It's an expanded, Wiest's expanded translation. Now, I see in that particular translation, of course, he's a Westcott and Hort man. He cuts out a few verses here and there, but nice gentleman. I attended his classes when I was visiting one of my friends, Dr. Richard Durham, who was a student with my wife in the same area, same era, rather, in Moody Bible Institute, and I attended the class with Dick Durham. And very fine. He always comes excited about the language and gives some nugget that he's found that particular week, you know, as he moves along. Gentleman. Now he's with the Lord now, but it's an expanded translation. I have it in the basement. If you want to look it over and so on, you can see. But there he brings out the different nuances of tense and voice and so on and so forth in his translation. Now, technically, that's sort of an expanded translation, almost like that other one that have the Amplified Bible. In other words, it's not exactly a translation. It's sort of a commentary. You had. The man went, came, hastened, hurried, left, you know, take your pick, sort of, to the store, place of business, Radio Shack, at the RSA place, whatever, you know what I mean? You take your pick, and it's a stop and go, but you see, in a real translation, like the King James Version it would be, or some of the other that may be considered a more staid, you don't get these nuances, as you say, Manny. It's just a simple... that I might leave. So I say that I might leave because the might would be the subjunctive aspect of it. And there again, the New King James Version just wipes out that subjunctive. They keep wiping it out every time you come up to it, you know. If I be able to go, and if I am able to go, you know, they just, you know, instead of if I be able. So anyway, and this is a subjunctive. Any other questions on the aorist subjunctive active? If I be or that I might.
So we would translate that I might leave.
That I might leave, in the sense of quickly or point action type of thing. In the subjunctive, there's no tense distinction. There's merely action distinction. That's the thing we ought to remember. The present, that I might leave in a little bit longer fashion, say a little bit longer to leave, lingering leaving. That I may linger and leave. This is I might precipitously leave all of a sudden because I'm being chased, perhaps, or maybe I've got a gun on me or something that's running after me. All right, so the middle, second area, subjective middle, that I may leave on my own, by myself, without being pushed, very quickly, but I on my own, see, for myself, leave by myself, for myself, and I'm going to leave myself, I suppose you could say, but I think it probably wouldn't be the direct middle, probably indirect middle, for my benefit, see, but I'm going to leave for my own benefit. It's to my own advantage, as the scripture says, withdraw thy foot from thy neighbor's house, as he weary of thee, see, that's in the book of Proverbs, withdraw thy foot from thy neighbor's house. My son Don Jr., always makes it a policy when he visits us or he visits his in-laws to limit it roughly to 4 days, maybe 3-4 days, you know, so that that scripture doesn't take place. Mm-hmm. Your guest, even though it's your mother-in-law, even though your own mother and father. Of course, then, too, he likes to spend some time at home, too, at vacation, a little bit there, a little bit here, that he's got to spend a little bit with his own family. So, anyway, this would be a precipitous that I may withdraw or leave for myself by myself. All right, let's go for that one, the middle. Lipomai, lipe, lipetai. Again, the middle. Lipomai, lipe, lipetai. All right, that was all we had, wasn't it? Those two.
Is there a passive?
Is there something else? Yes, we don't want to forget the onoma. Yes, pardon me.
I just want to know if there is a passive to go with.
Well, in the aorist, yes. See, whenever you get in that aorist, you always have to deal and face the aorist passive, which is a separate form. See, if you get this passive, which is the third sheet here, the aorist, first aorist, always has a subjunctive, it has an imperative, it has so on. See, for instance, eleuthane is your first aorist. The second aorist is elipane. See, but the ending is ain, ace, a, amen, ate, ason, ason, yes. The middle now of that same thing is second aorist elipomane, elipu, elipeto, elipometa, elipesta, eliponto. See, that's the second aorist. You see, the second aorist passive, elipane. See, the ain, ace, a, amen, ate, ason is your passive voice. So when you get it now, see this parenthesis here, present, that's the same in the middle and the passive. Imperfect is the same middle and passive, but future is separate, first aorist is separate, second aorist is separate. Now first perfect is the same middle and passive, first pluperfect middle and passive, but first future perfect passive is separate, see? So you got future, first and second aorist, and future perfect passive. There are four forms that have separate, distinct passives and middles. So that's why this is a helpful little thing if you have this... this chart, you can see where they're parenthesized and see where they're the same, see where they're different. So that would be a different form. It would be for the subjunctive, for the passive, that would be lipo, lipase, lipe, lipomen, lipete, lipase. Let me see here. And that would be different than this, wouldn't it? See, this is lipomai. Lipomai, lipe, lipetai, lipometa, lipes. Here would be lipo, lipes, lipe, lipomen, lipete, liposi. That's your passive voice.
Same as the active.
Second aorist, passive.
Same as the active.
Same as the active, except you got the lip.
The other's the lip.
No, it's lip for air.
For air, oh yeah, all right. Same as the present?
Same as the subjunctive active.
Well, I guess it is. No, except your accent's different. This is lipo, lipase, lipe, lipomen, lipete, lipos, you see. Here's lipo, lipase, lipe, lipomen, lipete, lipos. So here's where your accent, you really need to know the accent. It's different.
The accent is different.
That's right. The accent shifts. Mm-hmm. That's the only difference between the present and the aorist, you see. So in this instance, it's good to know accents. In fact, you'll find sometimes in the future tense, of angelo, for instance, to announce. Angelo, with accent of the L-O, is present. Angelo is future. I will announce. Angelo, I announce, Angelo, I will not see. So it's just an accent. It will give you a different tense.
How would you translate the passive of the aorist? Is that what I got for me? Is that I got thrown out, or
that I might be left? See, I would hate that I might be left here at home. See, without my wife going with me. See, all of a sudden, in the rapture, to be taken without her, because she's also saved. So we go up together. So that I might be taken by myself, or we might be taken anywhere. See. Alone, or you can say anything you want, but that I might be taken, that's your passive, see, that I might take for myself quickly, and the first is, of course, the active is that I might take something, to leave, not take, but leave, and the other is that I might leave by myself or for myself or on my own hook, you see, as independent, sovereign, independent movement on my part rather than forcible excision or departure. All right? Anything but the boot. All right? Any other question on that? Well, we've got to get this other. Oh, yes, by all means, page 85, the declension, the third declension of Ta Anima. Let's get it with the article. If you didn't put the article down and didn't know that, you guys, you had the article. All right? Ready to go with the article. The word is Dename. All right? Nominative? Ta Anima. Tu on namatas, to on namati, ta onama, then the plural, ta on namata, tois onamasi, ta onomata. All right, let's go through that again a little bit with the articles. Again, ta onoma, tu onomatos, tu onomatos, to onomati, to onomati, ta onoma. All right, the plural. Ta onomata, ton onomaton, tois onomasi, tois onomasi, tois onomasi, ta onomata. All right, any questions on that third declension? How to go? Just a different series of endings, that's all I have to do. All right, let's open our books, or papers rather, put our name, section, and date in a section. I have a section, is this the name of the date? Of course, you have it. And then this is the 24th of January. Let's take our vocabulary first, and then move on to the others. All right, word number one in the first vocabulary, there are only four of them. Number one is there, in that place, the adverb. Number two is the adjective true, masculine, feminine, neuter, true. Number three, with the article, the devil, with the article in Greek. And number four, the life. Don't forget the article and the life. Any questions on the page 81, lesson 25? Vocabulary, lesson 26, vocabulary, page 83. Number one, there are 11 of these. Number one is the adjective holy, given masculine, feminine, neuter. Holy. Number two, with the article, the blood. Number three, the mouth. Number four, the will, with the article. Number five, the word. Number six, the letter of the alphabet, or the writing, with the article, the writing. Number seven, the body. Number eight, the name. Number nine, the gift, or the free gift. Number ten, the spirit. Number 11, the seed. Do you have any questions on those 11? Do you want me to repeat any? All right, then, conjugate the six forms of the aorist and aorist subjunctive active, and conjugate the six forms of the second aorist subjunctive middle of the verb lapo, lambda, epsilon, iota, p, omega, lapo. And then give me the forms of the declension of the third declension, ta onoma, Omicron, noon, Omicron, name, mu, rather, alpha. On a talk, on a, with the article, please. Any questions on that? All right, go ahead. Let me know when you're ready.
I'll have gray hair in the beard.
Right. I'll look over your papers and then return them up this way. I've got some papers to hand back to you. There's Larry's and various others.
Hey, Phil, I meant to ask you, how was Disney World? 21 degrees, was it? Isn't that awful?
This is my last day.
I thought you were there when it was around 80. You
just,
were there when
just
it was
the last day was bad.
Let's take a look at next week, then, gentlemen. We have exercises of 26. We take the last part of 26 and then all of 27. So let's take a look at the pages. 26 exercises would be paragraph 204. Take the 204, then just skimming over the next exercise lesson, rather, 27, the paragraph 205, which would be our vocabulary, 208, which would be future indicative active and middle of Leo, and paragraph 211, which would be the future indicative active of AME, and paragraph 213, which would be your exercises. So we have two exercises and one vocabulary, and we have three conjugations. Three conjugations. Okay, any questions on any of those? Well, let's work our way through then, especially 27, lesson 27, where we take the future indicative active in the middle. Now, the future, of course, is just like in English. Instead of I go, I will go, I leave, I will leave, and so on. There's no difference particularly. Let's take a look at the vocabulary before we go into that. We have just five words next time, which is not too hard to take. Number.
I can handle that.
The demon is what?
Daimonion.
Or daimonion. So that's fairly straightforward. Yes.
What makes that different from the devil, from Diabolos?
Diabolos. Diabolos. He's the adversary. Diabolos is caballo to throw, and dia to throw through, a sort of an adversary of opposition. Daimonion is one of his henchmen, I guess one of his workers. But, you know, the King James Version translates the devil and then devils, which, you know, plural evil, workers of evil, you know what I mean? A lot of people make a lot of that, saying there's only one devil and the rest are demons. Well, that's fine. If you want to say demons, that's fine. Daimonion, of course, in the Greek culture was considered to be a god, was a deity, the demons. And, you know, that's just a Greek word that can mean it's a supernatural being, see, and so they had some of their gods, daimonion, and so on. Of course, they had their thoughts, their gods that way, but they had daimonion. I think it was a supernatural being and was a god. But in the Bible, they're all evil forces, there's no question about them. They're supernatural. They're not all powerful. They're powerful, but not all powerful. They know, because of their abilities, more than we know, but they know less, much less than the omnipotent, omniscient God. Ta, daimonia, very easily remembered in that. Any other questions on that one? All right, don't forget your article, a neuter, ta, daimonia. Ha, diabolos is, of course, the masculine. Maybe this is because they're it's in sort of neuter senses of things. Father Diabolos, personal devil, he certainly is personal. Of course, these are personal too, as far as being personalities. All right, pardon me, go ahead.
And I will know if it's a first or third, a third or second declension by, it will give us the other, it will give us a genitive on the outside.
I think
other
so.
It will give us a genitive.
Daimonion. Daimonion would be daimonion, daimoniu, daimonion. So just
so
like regular.
It would norm. Okay, so if it was.
Like doulos, you know, doron, like doron, the gift, you see. I think otherwise they give you that daimon aptos or whatever.
Okay, so they'll give us that aptos.
Yeah, they give you the aptos, and that's the way you tell the difference.
Okay.
That's a good question. All right, the next word, and, connective, meaning also sometimes even. Kai. All right, haven't we had that before? Yep.
Well, and they've been using it.
Yeah,
we've picked it up.
Now it's official.
So sometimes and, sometimes also, sometimes even.
Okay.
Even is called the ascensive use. Ascensive, A-S-C-E-N-S-I-V-E, meaning even higher. Say yea or even. And sometimes, many times, the King James Version translates that even. God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. See, God, Kai, and the Father. See, God and Father. And they translate many times, even the Father. See, and of course, also is one of the uses. All right, the next around, the original meaning around on all sides, with the genitive about or concerning, with ablative from around, with accusative roundabout, about concerning. So all three different senses here. Here's what?
Peri.
All right, peri. Peri. Periscopos, yes. Gay peri.
Don't say gay.
It used to be called gay peri. No,
probably still is.
So many words have been polluted, haven't they? Changed by monsters. Periscope, of course, is a good memory hint on that. Around on all sides. Scopeo, to look, to examine. Peri, around. Genitive about concerning, ablative from around, with accusative roundabout. Round on all sides is the gist of it. And then over or upper originally, in behalf of, with the ablative, in the interest of, instead of, in place of, for the sake of, about concerning, with accusative over, beyond, and above.
And every other little thing.
Yes.
Prepare,
right? Original meaning over or upper. Hyperactive, thyroid, hyper. Ventilate and so on, hyperbole, and all these words. Notice it means in place of, instead of, but what is not listed here, it is here, in behalf of. You might put that for the benefit of. See, that's a good translation theologically, huper, as opposed to anti. Anti is instead of, in place of. He died for us, in our place, as a substitute, but that's as far as it goes. Huper means he died for us instead of in place of us, but also for the benefit of us, for the plus factor of us. So you see, that's a distinction of huper versus anti. I don't know whether the Trench follows, has that or not, but you'll find that particularly, I think, in Matthew. And certainly in Lenski's series in the New Testament, the distinction there between those two, huper and anti. See if anti is in there. Again, the men are slighted. Uncle is not mentioned, like grandma and grandpa. Anti is here, 310, all right? The Greeks just seem to have a flair for the 310. As the anti. Yes, huper and anti. I've written in my blue the top in summary, huper, substitute, plus benefit. Anti, substitute, and never benefit. Just pure substitution. So you find many times in the New Testament, Greek Testament, Christ died for us in our place. Watch whether it's huper or whether it's anti. If he, which one it is. Huper, on our behalf, for our good, but also in our stead. So not merely on our behalf, for our good, but in our stead. So substitutionary blood atonement is listed in both of these cases. Anti, in our stead, like that. So that's more or less the distinction. So that's where I got that. I got that from Trench. I don't know where I pick these things up. All I know is I know them, but I don't know where I know them from or why I know them. I'm glad I found my friendly French on that. But that's a huper for the benefit of. Any questions on that one? All right. Hos is meaning what? Relative temporal adverb?
As
or when. See? As or when, depending on the context. Yeah. All right. You have those five vocabulary words. Any questions on those? All right, let's go ahead then. We're going to get into the future indicative active in the middle. Small vocabulary. Yes, mine, it'll be easy. You can just get that in one bite.
but I can't afford to miss it.
No. Yes. Not true. Notice again the 206, the future tense is made on an aoristic or punctiliar root in some verbs and on durative roots in other verbs. That is the root of it as the future. Kind of action of the future may be either punctiliar or durative, but in the use of the future, the future is generally punctiliar. So it can be either, but generally punctiliar, because in most cases it is built on the aoristic root, the shortened root. But be that as it may, it's usually I will go instead of I will continue to go, you know, over a long process. What about your test? Well, I will pass it. See, it's a punctiliar, it's usually a point action. That's the general gist of the future, just like in our own English language. The question on 206? All right, 207, the future indicative as in English generally denotes what is going to take place. It is just the present vividly projected into the future. In English, it is done by shall in the first person, by will in the second and third persons. Except when? What is the distinction on it? I shall go tomorrow to school. You will go tomorrow to your work, whatever.
This emphatic situation.
Yes, emphatic situation. In which case, what? What happens?
I will.
I will go. Say, I will go.
You mean it's not really proper to say, I will go to school?
Not proper. The technical thing is the regular simple futurity is I shall.
I really think emphasis. Very few people realize that.
Oh, very few know that. That's right.
Right. I don't think it's a valid distinction in modern English anymore, really.
Yeah, well, because of the ignorance of the folk. Yeah,
that's right.
It is.
MacArthur, it is true.
Pardon me?
Since MacArthur, it's gone out of style. I shall return.
Oh. I didn't wish regard to John.
Sounds like he goofed. You should have said, I will return.
He did return.
He should have said, I will return.
I will return.
Did he return?
Yeah, he did.
Well, he was so sure of it, it didn't need to be emphatic. Maybe simple futurity. I shall return. That's it. No problem. I don't know. No, the general rule, if you learn English, it is I shall go.
Green,
that is
really?
In 11th, 10th, and 11th grade.
Yeah, we have that also. And of course, that's a valid, an advanced grammar, for instance, Kittredge and Farley, under shall and will. Let's see if that would be in the index. Probably shall be. Yeah, shall and will, 102 and following. 102 and following. Future tense. The auxiliary shall or will follow the definitive and so on. I shall fall. See? In fact, this one has thou wilt fall. See, second verse right on the button. See, this is an old fashioned grammar, which in English there is thou shalt fall. There's no question about it. If you have a second person singular, you've got to use the wilt rather. I will fall. And the wilt and the thou. See, that's the part. He will fall. We shall fall, you will fall, they will fall. In other words, thou wilt fall, but you will fall. See, the future for the youth plural is you will. In singular, it's thou, not thou will, but thou wilt. It's interesting.
That really made it much more precise, because now you is deteriorated to the point where you can't tell if it's singular or plural.
Right.
I know. Really can't. That's right, you can't. Now, here's interesting. That's in assertions, declarative assertions. I shall, thou wilt, he will, we shall, you will, they will. But in questions, interrogative, shall I fail? That's all right. Notice the second, shalt thou fall? Shalt thou in a question. Will he fail or fall? I guess it's fall, yeah, fall. And then plural, shall we fall? Then shall you fall? Or will they fall? It's interesting. The second singular, second plural is the shall in the question.
Mm-hmm.
That's a twist.
So,
I wasn't aware of that twist myself.
What's the period of that English book, perhaps?
Well, this is 19, written, I think, 1900 and, what's the copyright? 1913. Kittredge and Farley.
Sorry.
I picked that up 1950 as a, you know, real advanced English grammar, real souped up, super duper, you know, in depth English. I have another one by Kittredge and Farley. That is, I don't know why I got two. Concise English grammar.
Mm-hmm.
This is the advanced English grammar that's more detailed. This is a concise, build upon that, but less voluminous. And I picked them up, I guess,
They're probably out of print.
Yeah, they're out of print now. See, these are good. In fact, I called Ginn and Company, Columbus, 800-848-9500, try to get them, and they're out of print. This is 1913-1918. But the favor accorded to an advanced English grammar has led authors, in response to many requests from experienced teachers, to prepare this brief manual of similar grade for use in those courses of study which require a concise textbook. See? So, because, you know, you teach grammar in college and in seminary and various other things, you got to have some sort of a real book there. Common errors are the use of will or shall, one, in the first person in assertions and questions, and two, in the second person in questions. Common errors are the use of will or shall, see. In other words, that the questions, shalt thou fail, you know, shall you fail? In the following sentence, the first person of the future tense is correctly formed. I shall not will drown. I shall drown. Shall I drown? Not will. I shall fail. Not I will. We shall not will sink. The verb phrases with shall express merely the action of the verb in future tense, the verb phrases with shall. They do not indicate any willingness or desire on the part of the subject. Contrast the following sentence in which I will or we will is used. I will go with you. That's a strong assertion. I will give you what you ask. I will not endure it. We will allow you to enter. We will have the truth. Here the verb phrases with will do not, as in the previous examples of I shall, express the action of the verb in future time. They express the present willingness or desire or determination of the speaker to do something in the future. Say, I will, I will, I will, we will. Hence, such verb phrases with will in the first person are not forms of future tense. Mm-hmm. Not even future tenses. It's I will, and I guess you could say the infinitive, I will to go. It means I want to go. I will go, and that's leaving out the two. It's an infinitive. I will to go. I will go. It's interesting. I didn't know that. Express the action of the future. Now, as the previous examples, I shall express the action of the future. They express the present willingness to speak or do something in the future. Hence, such verb phrases with will in the first person are not forms of the future tense. They are special verb phrases expressing willingness or desire. In the first person, shall, not will, is the auxiliary of the future tense in both assertions and questions. It denotes simple futurity without expressing willingness, desire, or determination. Will in the first person is used in promising, threatening, consenting, and expressing resolution. It never denotes simple futurity. It's interesting. So these are dogmatic statements in the old English. Of course, now they've got modern English and colloquial English and stretching, modal English. What do they call that?
Vulgar.
Vulgar. Well, transpositional English and transpositional grammar, and then they've got dialectical English. We can go right ahead in your own dialect. If you're used to saying things wrong, well, that's acceptable. See? Yeah. And they try to bring the kids off the Philadelphia streets using their predictive jargon that he used over there. This is the type of thing that would say that's all right, and they baptize that as common English. Anything that's used is all right. See? Mm-hmm. Anything goes. But anyway, this is really the technical aspects of things.
Did you ever hear the church saying "use guys"?
Really?
Yeah, they say that. Yeah,
use guys. You must hear that in your class.
I've heard that preached.
Not so much use guys. No, they don't. Believe it or not, they don't say use guys.
It's not an inner city use.
No, it isn't. No, use guys. No, it isn't.
Every use. It's in.
That may Brooklyn or New York or something.
That's right.
You guys.
You guys.
Now I went to school with a lot of Italians, and that's where I got it. That's where they used to.
That use.
Use guys. What do you mean use guys?
Yeah. Norristown, where I'm from, they use it.
Yeah, I've heard the expression. I did that later. Puerto Ricans use it. I did that later, meaning earlier. Absolutely the opposite. I said, you mean earlier. I did that later. Strange. You know, but the Puerto Ricans in this Philadelphia school system have gotten in the mind the later means earlier. I don't know why. What the confusion? Let's see, what other expressions are there? I'd be going to school. Instead of I am going, I'd be going. I'd be going.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah,
yeah,
that's
really
interesting.
I remember Clyde Kadiddlehopper. One time, remember Clyde Kadiddlehopper? What's his name? Red Skelton. Somebody came in and said, "It's me, Daisy June." And his mother-in-law said, "No, it's I, Daisy June." And he goes, "Well, what do you know? I'm up to my navel in Daisy June."
That's another one recently. I don't remember what it was, but there's some other grammatical twist. I think my wife just told me about it yesterday. I don't know what it is, but it's only like the what's on first and who's on second, but it's not exactly. All right, so we got the future. 207. The shall in the first person, will in the second and third person, yet the future indicative has modal aspects, which will be presented later. That has to move aspects. All right, let's take a look at the future indicative active in the middle of luo. You simply put the sigma in there, and luo, and put the lus, and that's your sigmatic aorist. A sigmatic future. And that's the same thing in the first aorist. You put a sigma in there, and that's why they say that the future is built on the aoristic stem, because the lus is the root. For instance, if you take your chart and you take the first aorist, elusa, see lus again. But you have the augment, elusas, elusen, elusamen, elusate, elusam. And the lus is the same thing you have in the future. Luso, luses, luse, lusomen, elusomen, elusate, elususe. All right, let's go through the future indicative active. I will loose, I shall loose, pardon me. I'd be correct here with all these grammarians now that have finally come of age. All right, luso, luse, luse,
luse,
lusomen, lusate, lususe. In the future, lusen. The future indicative, infinitive rather, is found only six times in the New Testament. Esistai occurs four to six times and so on. Esistai, which is the infinitive to be. Esistai is the verb to be, aiming, I am. All right, let's try that again. I will lose, or I shall lose, rather. That's very colloquial.
What would the infinitive be?
To lose,
but you just know that it's to lose in the future.
That's
you would
right.
Translate it to lose.
That's right, Toulouse. And the reason for this infinitive is, as we said before, the consecution of tenses, the consecutive nature of tenses. There are certain instances where you have to have a future to balance off something else, and so you have the infinitive in the future rather than in the present, or rather than or in the aorist. So this is why we have that, but it's translated the same to loose, and you know it's going to be in the future. But to shall loose, to be in the future, shall will loosing. You know, you can't be loose.
To be loose.
That would be passive. To be loose, see like that. See, but I'm about to loose. To be about to loose something. That might be something. See. That might be one way of phrasing.
But the active verb would have to be in the future to use the future infinitive tied in that, wouldn't it?
I think so.
Right.
In other words, I shall go down to buy something. So
okay.
Maybe that's it. I shall go and then maybe to buy following it. That's against the consecutive tense. If you got the future, maybe you keep it in the future. I'm not sure of the exact rules on that, but I think that's the way you use this future. But as he says here, only found six times in the whole New Testament. So it's practically nil. See, so you almost it's a dead issue. It's a form, you learn the form, because you do use it in Attic Greek, classical Greek, Homeric Greek, and so on, Doric Greek. And I don't know whether in modern Greek you use it or not. I've never had modern Greek. But so let's go through that again. I shall loose. Liso, lise, lise. Lissomen, lissete, lissusi. Same endings of the present, the infinitive, lissain. Identical to the present endings, right? Present indicative. So there's nothing new except that sigma. Insert the sigma, you got the future. I shall lose, you will lose. They will lose, he shall be lose, rather. We shall lose, you will lose, they will lose. All right, now let's go into the middle. I shall lose myself, or I shall lose for myself. And there again, you just add the middle endings of the present, Amae etai. Amava esta ontai. Exactly. And the same estai for the infinitive. Is that correct? Let's go through it. I shall lose for myself. Nisamai, nise, nisetai. Nisamatha, nisesta, nisontai. Future and infinitive, right? Nisestai, nisestai. Again. Nisamai, nise, nisetai. Nisamatha, nisesta, nisontai. And the infinitive? Nisestai, nisestai. All right, this future passive, different from the future middle. Notice that. Except in the future and aorist, the middle and passive are alike in form. Now notice the observations, 209, again it's background, primary, active, middle, endings, and so on and so forth. Any questions on 209? All right, 210, most verbs whose verb stem ends in a single vowel, except alpha, epsilon, and omicron are a diphthong, or a diphthong are conjugated in the future like luso, lusomai. Examples, distero, future is what? Distero, I believe. What is the future?
Distelso.
Distelso. All right. Akuo, I hear. Future?
Akuso.
Akuso, but here they got akusamai. Akusamai. Apparently that goes into the middle deponent type of situation. I don't know why, but the future akusamai, and sometimes you have verbs that switch like that. They should have a footnote on that for you, shouldn't they? Kolio, to prohibit, to prevent. Kolio, I don't know if we've had that yet. Would be what?
Caruso.
Just add the sigma, just as we've done with Pistello and with Leo. Any questions on that?
Where are you in the book here?
Paragraph 210, I'm sorry. 210. See, those are examples.
What did they say up on top in A there that, where are they bringing the future passive there?
Well, because that's a different form. See, you haven't got to it, Steve. So they bring it in because the middle is here, and they wonder, well, is the middle the same as the passive?
Oh, okay.
See,
right.
Maybe your mind is thinking that way. In fact, the question was raised tonight, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It's a different form. I think Manny raised it on last issue, last lesson. So yeah. That's why. They,
mm-hmm.
Any other questions on that? All right. Future indicative of Ame, then, 211. Let's learn that for next time also. And again, Amae, next time, Etai, it says Tai. Amatha, Esta, Ontai. The Estai is without the thematic vowel. Estetai. See, it's just Estai.
Yes.
Let's try it. I shall be, in other words. You will be, you shall be, he sure it will be. We shall be, you will be, they will be. All right? Esomai, Esai, Estai. I shall be. Now this is your future, the verb to be. Ame, A, S, D. Remember? Esmen, Esta, A, C. Alright, now, notice paragraph 212.
What's this future infinitive mean?
Esestai, pardon me?
No, what does it mean?
Oh, what to be about to do something, I guess you want to say. Or just to
be about to be done.
Yeah, I think so. This would be just to be, almost like the
almost
present.
To be,
yeah. Just to be. But as I say, if you want to have about to be, there's a structure in Greek for about to do something, the word mellow. I don't know, have we had mellow? Mellow, my? That's that idea. But you see, if you have this future infinitive, you could almost have that same sense, maybe, to be about to do something. I don't know whether Dana and Maddie would have anything on the future infinitive. As I say, as he mentions, it's only used six times. So.
No, you probably would use them together, mellow, esestai.
Well, maybe so.
And then would be, I would be about to be.
Possibly.
I don't know.
Makes sense. About to be.
About to be.
I think they'll use the present in that structure
about
too.
To be bad.
So be what bad. We're looking under future, and future tense as such is 178 on Dana and Maddie, page 178. paragraph 178. And periphrastic and future, the predicative future, the progressive future, the imperative future, the deliberative future, the nomic future. Then it passes off to the aorist tense.
Well, let's see if we've got any infinitives. Well, maybe we should look under infinitives, because that would be, see what they would say on that. Hence, it's natural that the punctiliar force of the aorist should survive in the future. As the aorist indicative narrates an event in past time, so the future indicative expresses anticipation of an event in future time. It is this foretold occurrence of a future event which is at its basal significance, and any qualifying idea is derived from the context or the nature of the verbal idea. Paraphrastic form of the future consisting of mello with the infinitive, now here's your mello structure, I'm about to do something, which we quite often meet in the New Testament, is different in significance from the regular future. It is more emphatic in force, it would be about to do something, and contemplates the action as more imminent. Robertson calls it, quote, a sort of halfway station between the futuristic present and the punctiliar future, unquote.
Futuristic present?
The general significance, well, the futuristic present. See, in other words, when you say, I am going to kill you, that's a futuristic present. See, I will kill you. See, I haven't done it yet, so it's future. I'm not meaning you, Larry. I'm talking about Phil. No. No, but that's a futuristic present. See, I'm going to do my homework, see. It means I will do my homework. That's a futuristic present. So this one here is a cross between the futuristic present and the actual future itself, see. The punctiliar future, which is the regular future, the regular luso, see. So, in other words, in the Greek language, you have many uses of the present tense. You know, the present, the progressive, the aoristic present, you know, different things. But one of them is the futuristic present, where you say, I, then the Lord says it over and over again. I go to Jerusalem. And it means I will go. And there's various things. In the same way with the aoristic present, where it says, he says to him, and we translate, he said to him. See, that's what you call the aoristic present. It's a present tense in the Greek New Testament, but we translate it as a past tense, because in the context, you know, that's what it says. And Jesus says to him, well, Jesus said to him, we would translate, but in the Greek says, lege, it says. It's what we call the present tense in the aoristic sense of it, the past sort of point action time. So, there's lots of these different uses of present and so on, and that's where you get the Adenomati intermediate grammar, which is very helpful in that. I was going to look up the infinitive as such. We didn't get anything on the future. We struck out on that. I don't know that they would say anything about the infinitive, the future infinitive. Infinitive article, history of, origin of, substantive uses of, terminations of, uses of, verbal uses, so on. 187, let me just see a quick look at that. It's only used six times in the New Testament. I venture to say that it would be probably not talked about. Infinitive articular, 187. Oh, I'm pointing at pages against the sections, 187. The infinitive, origin of nature, history of it, is a noun, is a verb, the articular infinitive, historical significance, the use of the infinitive, verbal uses, purpose, result, time, either antecedent time, the contemporaneous time. That's where you're going to get it. I think the infinitive to express subsequent time. I'm wondering in those things there. See, there are certain things that you'd have, perhaps you'd have use for the future infinitive or aorist infinitive or present infinitive, depending on how these cause and command. Substantial uses, substantive rather uses, but as a subject, as the object, as the indirect object, instrument, apposition, modifier. But I fail to see any heading as far as the future infinitive is concerned. Excuse me. So I would think that they would just not be brought up in as much as it's used six times. That would be the thought. All right. Let's go on to the paragraph 212. There are no other conditions or questions, rather. The conditional sentences, C-149. Let's take a look at 149. Backward look, paragraph, conditional sentences. Four separate forms of the Greek condition. The first is the conditional condition determined as fulfilled. Remember, we have A, epsilon iota, in the protasis, the if clause, and the conclusion or apothesis, indicative in any tense. Any mood may be used according to what is wanted. For instance, a sodze, if he is saving, tous anthropus, the men, tontheon doxadze, he is glorifying God. See, if he is, for the purpose of the facts of the case, stating the condition as a fact. That's what this first class condition is. All right, now let's pick that up. The third class conditional sentence is the classification undetermined, but with prospect of determination. Undetermined, but with prospect of determination. Here the subjunctive after eon, if, is used in the condition, the if clause. Eon with the subjunctive. The conclusion actually has the future indicative, but may have any tense of the indicative, subjunctive, or imperative. Some examples. Eon paralabete, eon paralabete, eme, humes, esiste, hoi, matetoi, matetai, mu, if you will receive me. It's a, or eon rather, with the subjunctive, and in this case it's the aorist subjunctive, isn't it? Eon paralabete, it's lambano, but it's lab, it's the shortened root, so it's the aorist subjunctive. If you will receive me, it's actually if you receive me, see, but if you will receive me, you, and then it's esses that, you will be, that's the future, simple future, you will be my disciple. If you receive me, you will be my disciple. So, eon, with the indicative, usually the future, and in the apothesis, the any indicative, but usually the future there. All right, then notice the second example. If we say that we have not sinned, the truth is not in us. Eon apomen, if we might say, apomen, and this of course is from Lego, it's not really from Lego, it's the aorist subjunctive again. Eon apomen, if we might say that hamartian uk apomen, that we have no sin, e aletheia uk esten en humin, the truth is not in us. If you say that we have no sin here, the truth is not in us, that's the esten, which is the indicative, regular present indicative in the apothesis. Now, let me give you the Dana and Maddie approach to those four class conditions, those four conditions that we may have gone over the last time, I'm not sure. But that would be conditional clauses, paragraph 286 in Dana and Maddie. These four classes of conditions, these are referred to over and over again in the grammars. Additional sentences. Where they go? Two seventy-one. Yes, conditional clauses. The constructions on page 289 of conditional sentences. One, the simple condition, that's the first class condition, A, epsilon iota, that we've learned. Second, the contrary to fact condition. See, if you were a mouse, you're not, but if you were a mouse, you may see things from a different vantage point. See. You know what the kids say all the time to some of their compeers? First Corinthians. 15, all right, verse 12. That's why I couldn't get anything to start here.
Christ is raised, this is the way it is.
Is that how that is?
15:12.
No, there is another place.
Great. Yes, now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead. See? It's A, epsilon iota, death. A, death. If Christ be preached that he rose from the dead.
What's the...
And he is preached that way.
What verse is that?
That's verse 12. 1 Corinthians 15:12. I'll say something among you that there is no resurrection of the dead. But if there be no resurrection of the dead, now this is verse 13, A, epsilon iota, death. But if there be no resurrection of the dead. You see, now that's why you cannot say that A always says that's a fact. It's only assuming for the sake of the argument that he's presenting. It's stated as fact.
It's stated as fact, but it may not be true.
See, but that's right. It does not have to be true.
Right.
See, so many Greek students and so many preachers that are preaching on a first-class condition make the dogmatic statement that if we are raised, if Christ be raised from the dead, seek those things that are above. Remember, if we raised from the dead, Colossians 1, which is a first-class condition. They say, see, that means that thing is true. That means it's factual. Right. Wait a minute. I'm looking at verse 13, and if you say that's factual, but if there be no resurrection of the dead, see, if there be no resurrection, see, if you assume that is factual, then you're saying that Paul is teaching that there's no resurrection of the dead.
That's right. That's right.
And that's false. He's not teaching that.
Right.
He's merely saying if, for the sake of argument, there's no resurrection of the dead. See, he's stating it as if it's a fact, but it isn't a fact. His premise is wrong. He's arguing from their vantage point, but that's not true. And I want to point this out. See, and if Christ be not risen, now again, verse 14, A with the death. If Christ be not risen. So if you say that A always means you're stating it, if Christ be not risen, and he isn't, see, as a fact, then you're wrong there too, because Paul would be teaching that Christ isn't risen. He's only stating from the standpoint of argument. He's stating it as a premise as if it were true for his argument's sake. But it isn't necessarily the fact. So it's very important to catch that. Mm-hmm. I won't go further with 1 Corinthians 15. If you want to prove to your fellow seminarians that you want to watch that point, or maybe some of your teachers, I would hope not, but maybe some of your teachers, there's a place to prove it in 1 Corinthians 15. And be very careful on that. How that is stated as fact, it may not be necessarily fact. But as he says in paragraph 149, the indicative states the condition as a fact. It may or may not be true in fact. See, that's very well taken.
What was this?
That caution on page 68.
1 Corinthians?
1 Corinthians, yes, 15.
15.
And that was 12 and 13, wasn't it? 12 and 13 along in there, yes. And you know, there's others, Manny. You know, if you thread your way through the whole if clause, if this and if this and we if this be true and if that, and check all the first class conditions. I think, I'm not positive, but I think they're all first class. I think it's A. But check them through and see what you come up with. All right, we were on page what?
88.
Pardon me?
88.
88, okay. So that's the conditional sentences, the conditional sentences, and third-class condition, more probable future. In other words, if you will receive me, and it's probable that you will, say more probable than not, then you will be my disciple. All right, any questions on any of these before we go on to our exercise of that? Okay, if not, let's see, we have two tonight, do we?
Just one.
Okay, two next week. All right, would you change your papers, please? And
it's a little harder.
Well, I was under. Be done. Yeah.
Oops. Paragraph 195. Is that correct? 195.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, we're in good shape tonight. Only 8:14.
We might even get to read.
Let's trust we get to read 5 or 6 or 7 or 8 or 9 or 10 verses. I even thought today of maybe going on to the next page of the Gospel of John in our copy machine. But we'll see how we do. All right, let's read the Greek first, please, on page 83, exercise paragraph 195.
Ego,
uk,
elphon.
What's your accent?
Elphon.
Okay. Ego, uk, elphon.
Elphon.
Malane.
Irene.
Epi.
Tain gain.
Tain gain. All right, what do we have in that?
I
did not come.
Will not. Not
good. Will, you say
when
so?
I did not go.
I did not come, or
did
I.
Not come,
right. You almost put it in the perfect tense. I have not come, but I did not come is fine. I did not come.
To throw or?
To throw, cast. To cast, to put.
Peace.
Peace.
On?
On or upon, on, either one.
On the earth.
On the earth, all right. I did not come to put, to place, to cast, to throw peace upon the earth.
I didn't know it could mean put.
Well,
I just thought, you know, it's throw or cast.
That's
was,
true. That's
I
true. Well,
it was a little strange
it's,
way
a, it's a flexible. That word bale, depending on the context. See, you'll find, man, that a lot of these verbs, as you get the context, you can stretch them into all different kinds of nuances and shapes, varieties. Now, it's not stretching. It's just the way that these Greek words are, because, you know, bala means to throw, but there's lots of different ways you can throw and put, and, you know, the action toward. And so let's take a look at just in our analytical, for example, on bala.
Is that the way that passage reads in the New Testament? I came not to cast peace on the earth,
I think so.
Or something.
I think so. Cast,
I thought it was
just
to
throw down.
I thought it was
well, it is translated, bring. It is translated, but what verse would that be? That would be in the book of Matthew. Anybody can find it very quickly. I'll look up what we got here.
Matthew
came not to come peace but a sword. It'd be brother against sister and my father and mother and his enemies. They have his own household, be his own enemy.
On the mount?
I think so. I think it is Matthew 5, 6, and 7 there. But while you're looking that up, let me give you balo. To throw to cast, to put to place. See, Matthew 8, 6. Try it. There it is. Matthew 8, 6, and 14.
Okay.
Translated to put or to bring, but you see, that's a perfectly legitimate thing, because to throw down means to bring down and right where you are, and there it is. It's there. It arrived. Therefore, it's put. It's placed. It's brought. Is that 8:16, Matthew 8:16? No?
Mm-hmm.
8:6, excuse me, 8:6. Pardon me, 8:6.
Okay, and Lord said unto the servant, no?
No, 8:14?
No.
Wrong again.
All right. At Aliyah. All right, let's see. To place, to put it to place, like James 3:3, to place or deposit, like Matthew 26:27, to Mark, Luke, St. John, to pour. To, notice the pour, see? To cast, well, to cast water is to pour, isn't it, almost? To thrust, there's another one, see? To send forth, balo, to send forth. When you send forth a ball, you throw it. To assault, to strike.
Matthew
10:34, all right. Let me just check it in the text.
Think I come to send peace on earth.
Is that what it says,
send? I came not to send peace, but
to send. Send would be, to me, a better translation of bala, if that's what it is.
10:34, think now that I've come to place peace, is a literal interlinear, but the King James, I'm not come to send. That's right. That's the King James is send, which is good. Which is good. This interlinear has balo, to place peace, to send peace. Okay, so all of these meanings in that balo, just sometimes, notice, to thrust, sometimes to assault, to strike. You know, when a ball comes at you, you can assault you pretty smartly. But metaphorically, to suggest, balo, to suggest. You get this? In translation, to rush, to beat as the wind. The wind throws against you. See, rushes and beats again. So you see all these different words. Can you see why you can't have a translation that gets all the different nuances of the Greek word? You can't have it. All you can do in one translation is give pretty good standard meaning of that word to the sense, and then go underneath that translation, no matter what it is. King James, which I think is the finest and the best, and the most precise of all the English translations existing yet today in our language. But even that, you go underneath it and you see balo and you see what all these nuances. Now, again, I merely looked this up in a fairly simple Greek lexicon, namely the analytical Greek lexicon. You can see we've had at least 10 or 15 different nuances and shades of balo.
Now, is that in that, would that be the translations, all the translations in the Bible?
Pardon me?
Those are different translations for the word Balo, right?
Yeah, that's right. The different possibilities. And okay. Usually it's probably taken from the King James Version. This is basically, this is King James. It has maybe a little bit on the English Revised Version of 1881. Some of these do with a little...
It'd be interesting to see how often that in there did the King James translate Balo...
different ways. Yeah.
Well, no, that just that way... To send.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, because that really seems
to send. That's a beautiful. Yeah, to spell. That's the beautiful part about this analytical Greek concordance, is where you can look up that Balo.
Yeah.
You can see exactly all
how
the nuances.
When
it's used for send, when it's used for throw, it's used for cast. In fact, we could look this up. If we knew it was there, who had seen Matthew, that's one way of handling it, couldn't it? I look under Balo and see what we have for the different translations. I'm sure this is probably 10 or 12 or whatever translation what we have in the...
This guy's probably wrong then in translating it throw or cast.
Well, he didn't translate that, did he?
Well, that's how we translate.
That's all he gave us. That's the word.
I know, but that is, you mean in his vocabulary.
Yeah, the vocabulary.
Right. See, what he's doing, all he's doing is giving you one literal.
That's the basic meaning.
Yeah, that's basic. Yeah, that's right. It's basic Greek. It's just the original routine.
It's only this class that exegetes in basic Greek.
Well, you see, what does a man to do? You've got to learn vocabulary.
Right.
If you had to learn all the nuances of Balo and all the nuances of Luo and all the nuances of Luso and Luo and you know, Nipto and all the other words, you'd be beside yourself.
Right.
You just can't. See, that's why we have the synonyms by Girdlestone and so on. What you're trying to get in your mind is just the basic, what does that mean, hooper mean, hoopo? What does that word ana mean, see, and so on, dia. So you got these little, one little thing. Then later you can branch out, see, and you can see it's wider. And that's where you need these books and references. Here's Balo, Matthew 3:10, cast, Son of Man cast, casting, cast. Yeah, that's a very
fair
casting.
How many times
send,
though?
All right, send. Should be cast, cast. You'd have to look them, because you see you have a column,
sure.
And I have two columns of the Balo. Cast, let me see if I can find cast and hook, cast. Let's see, it was Matthew 10. I'm come to send peace on the earth. I'm come not to send peace, used twice there. Cast. Let me see if there's any others for that. Now, another thing on send, what you do would look up your Strong's, see, under send, and look at your numbers and see how many would be Balo. See, that would be one easy way, fast way, too. Now, here's poured, Matthew 26:12, in that she hath poured this, see, Balo, for poured. It's interesting. There's a special word for poor, but here it was put. 25:27, therefore to have put my money to the changers, you know. Follow, to cast my money. To put, follow. But you asked for send. I don't know on the send. Casting lots, put them, casting, putteth, should cast, cast, laid upon the bed. Her daughter, that's Mark 7:30, her daughter laid upon the bed. Put his fingers, to put, cast, 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 a lot of cast.
That's why they say thrust.
Threw in two mites, this lady, the poor widow, Mark 12:42, she threw him in. Bottle, poor widow hath cast in more. So I did cast, casting lots. Luke, put, cast. Well, I'll get into John, see, maybe we'll get some cast into prison. Put me into the pool. I let him first cast a stone at her, throw a stone, that's John 8, you know. Pick up stones to cast at him. Put thy sword. I don't see too many that jump right out at me.
When you think about the kind of action, when you think sin, you know, you think of a softer infinitive, and really it seems like it's got a root of a throw,
casting out peace,
but I'm not doing that. I'm sending a sword.
Yeah.
It's a sword that's coming.
Mm-hmm.
And it's
thrust, cast, throw. Cast. No, I don't see any other, just at a glance, that I haven't in detail. But there's a lot of different little twists and turns of that word, even that one word Balo.
Yeah.
So the thing about it is, you never want to be cocky and sure of yourself and say, this word doesn't mean this, it means this. What a fool. That's, you may be the fool. Look it up and see. Maybe there is that little meaning in that word. See, and check it out. See, there's so many, it's such a wide range of knowledge and the usage of these words. You can only pick one and you put it in a translation and you go on from there. Unless you had, sort of a eighth wonder of the world, namely the Amplified Bible, which just sort of adds and adds, you take your pick, sort of a potpourri and a smorgasbord of words to pick from, which doesn't make for really a nice, smooth, it is a translation. I mean, it's just sort of a study thing, and a study Bible may be helpful, but these people that use and quote, now this version says this, and then other translations, why don't you translate it right from the Greek and the Hebrew? That's why you study the languages. You know, get right in there, do it yourself. You don't have to cast aspersions on the King James Version or the way this one translated that. You know, just say here, this is the meaning of this word is rich in Greek. It could mean this and this and this and this, and here's the flavor of it. And you know, the translation's fine. You can only pick one. That's great. Don't knock that. But go on and get into the deeper areas of it. See, that's all. Just pass right on. All right, but make your own dress. You know, get your own, do your own study. Go right into the word. That's why we have it. Yes, sir.
This word "ep," what do you?
Ep upon, ep.
Is that what that means?
Yeah, upon the earth or on the earth, on or upon. Uh huh.
It can't mean from.
Not usually. Apa would be from or ek. You see, from the earth. Mm-hmm. But you see, this is upon, ep. It's right on top of. See, right on top of. In Spanish, encima, over. See, but in Greek, epi. All right, any questions further on one? All right, let's go with two. The Greek first.
Agomen.
Agomen.
Kai.
Hemes.
Hena.
Hena.
Apophenomen.
All right, try again with accent and all.
Apophenomen.
What's your accent? Do you want to get it?
Apophenomen.
Apophenomen. That's good. Apophenomen. Apophenomen. Okay, apophenomen. Apophenomen. See, here's an exercise in the alpha, the omicron, and the omega, all in one word. Apophenomen. See, apophenomen. 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 So you got to get those round vowels. Okay. And you ought to be able to say that so your buddy, who takes this course anyway, can spell it exactly correctly. Apophenomen. If I were to say that in dictation, you should be able to spell that correctly. You know, if you know the different twists. That's why I want these, you know, the pronunciation. Get it down and it'll be helpful. All right, what's the next one?
Met.
Why is met? Why is it met?
It's a
vowel. Vowel next. Syncopated, that's right. Apocopated, syncopated. Mm-hmm. Elided, ellipsis. All right.
Metautu.
All right, what do we have there?
Okay, let us go.
Let us go. That's right, let us go.
Is it and let us go? Is it please?
All right.
So that?
In order that we might die?
With him.
Let us go in order that we might die with him. Okay? And that we might die just to point action, see, just perish all of a sudden. But you see, we've got to be able to live in the present, progressive, continuous action, day by day for the Lord, which is many times much more difficult than dying in an aoristic sense of all of a sudden where we just snuffed out immediately.
Well, what should we do with that and? Should that and go before or in the middle?
Well,
or how can we handle
that? Yeah, what does it do with that?
Let us go. And
in order that, and in order
we,
that, when I look at it in the order,
I think it's for emphasis. If this were in the New Testament, what you'd have, it would be the ascensive.
Let us go.
Emphasis, emphatic, because you don't need that because you've got the agumen. It could only mean we. Let us go. See.
Do we want it in the even translation us? Somewhere?
Well, you could say, let us go. Even ourselves.
Good.
Now, English, we say even us. Greek says even we, you know. But we say, even us. Let us go, right. Even us.
Right, that is. We.
Yeah. Okay. But that's just their usage. See, they have the nominative, we have the accusative or the objective. Okay. In order that we might die, all of a sudden. Any questions further on that? That's the deliberative subjunctive, isn't it? Agomen. Let us. And the same as in Hebrew, we have that. All right, number three, what do we have in the Greek there?
Houtos.
Elfen.
Ace.
Marturian.
Marturian.
Two rows in there. Marturian. Marturian.
Hena.
Hemes. Careful, watch your accent.
Paralam.
Paralabomen. Okay, that's of course aorist lab. Then next and final. Outpont. All right, what do we have there?
This one. This one went.
Or went or came. Either one came or went.
This I don't get. Into.
Well, into, but or ace with the accusative is as or for.
Yeah,
see,
right.
As
that's
or for. Right. Ace is that in our book anyway?
It's ace, but I think I don't think he gives us that. He doesn't give us an accusative usage.
But does he mention where is ace? Do you remember?
Because he's into is in ace is usually accusative anyway.
Yeah.
But he only gave us page 39. He gives us ace as into, but he gives it to us again, and I think we still get into out of the deal.
He doesn't give us four. Okay,
that's why. I had a tough time because it didn't sound right. But I said I got to go with what it says.
Yeah, into. Well, so what you got to do in that, and Dana and Manny branch out into these prepositions. If I can find it without looking it up, let's see here, gar. Death, epi. All right, here's your preposition. I guess probably these are particles. Okay, let me see. Preposition must be before here.
So that's what it is, as a witness. I could not figure
conjunction
out. As a witness.
As a form.
They didn't give us that word.
That's right. I've got to look at the index anyhow, the table of contents. Prepositions, 96.
You didn't even give it to us in the back.
Mm-hmm. Doesn't in the back either?
No.
Does he use the word as? Does he give us that word?
Prepositions, function, and so on and so forth. Oh boy! Now once you get the preposition, you get it alphabetically. All right. All right. On page 103 of Dana and Manny, there's ace with a number of the root meaning is within or in. See, it comes from ens, E N S, epsilon nu sigma, ens, and you drop out the n and you get the nu, you get the ace. You see, ace, in, within. It is derived from n, and gradually took over its functions. Ents. So much so that modern Greek "en" does not occur. So "ace" is the one that's taken over. In composition, means "into" or "in," as "ace elfane" to go into. Resultant meanings for the accusative case: into, unto, to, or for. See, that's the thing. For. See. These meanings are very common. "Ace" is used more than 1,700 times in the New Testament. It occurs only with the accusative case. So you see, "ace," you know, can mean also for, as well as to or into. Remote meanings, that means in, number two, upon, number three, against, number four, among, number five, with respect to, with reference to, number six, as expressing equivalence, number seven, because of, number eight, for the purpose of. Say, ace, and there's you for the purpose of. That'd be one thing, wouldn't it? In order to
make
for the purpose.
Meanings,
these are remote meanings. Yeah, these are remote meanings.
So then,
but there are meanings, see, and they are used that way. In other words, for the person, regularly when used with the infinitive, but a few times also without, see.
Says in reference to?
Yes. And
as remote.
Yeah, this is a remote meaning, right. But you see, in the resultant meaning, with the accuser into, unto, to, or for. So for a witness, that's a regular meaning. That's a
I'm thinking of be baptized.
With reference or with respect to. Ace, yes, with respect
that's
to.
That's a remote forgiven. Meaning then.
Yes, that's right, but that's all right. It's just as good as any. I mean, whether remote or not, you got these eight remotes, and you pour it right in there, no problem. If it fits, plug it in and use it.
Yeah, I thought somebody said, though, that out of the 1,700 times it's used, most of it is in reference to.
With reference. Uh-huh.
Yeah, well, so that wouldn't be a remote meaning if most of the times it's used.
Well, no, that's correct. If maybe, that is correct.
Is that remote in grammatical or remote biblical?
Well, I think remote meanings meaning the root meaning is within or in. In composition, it means this. The resultant meanings of these, the remote meanings, they say it's just farther away from the root meaning, but that doesn't mean it's not one of the meanings. It's a valid, legitimate meaning, even though it's remote. See? in other words, it's remote because it's far-fetched, maybe, from the real meaning of the root of the word. See, but it is a meaning that's used, therefore.
Or it may be how often it's used.
Possibly.
Remote, even though it's only used once in a while.
Right.
Really.
Now, that's the beautiful part about the... Well, I was going to say the Moulton and Gedon's concordance to the Greek New Testament, but you can even use this one now, in a sense, because if you know ace is always used with the accusative, you don't need the Greek context. But you see, there's a Moulton and Gedon concordance, which is the Greek context plus the Greek alphabetization. Here you got the English with Greek concordance, which is the English context and the English, the Greek alphabetization, but the English context. Now, first you can look ace. Up here, and you can see where it's used with what. See, you can use up all 1,700 of them. See, let me just see how many pages just it would be. There's N, boy, a whole bunch of them. Then it's got the ace. So you can actually do a study on that, and that could be a good dissertation topic, or a master's thesis topic, or a paper, or whatever you might want to do. We got a lot of time. I'm flipping through the pages. I'm in ace right here. Start with here. One, two, three. These are two column pages. Four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, ten, 11, 12, 12 and a half, almost 13 pages of ace. But it gives you, see, take up your bed unto the house, to the house, into. See, so there's your routine. Into a pit, into a ship. Let's get into the book of Acts about unto Jerusalem. You said for repentance, is that what you said? Baptized, yes, to give it to him for possession. Acts 7, 5, see. For possession, see. Well, this would be, I came to send peace, what would you say, for peace? Is that, what is this word
here? Yeah, as a witness.
Oh, as a witness, or okay. For a witness. How many perish with the... are in the gall of bitterness, in the gall, that's in, and so on, into. Now here's for salvation, Acts 13:47. I have set thee to be a light, literally for a light, see, as a light. See, that's a perfectly good use. That thou shouldst be for salvation, see, ace soterian, see, unto salvation, for salvation, as salvation. So this is one of the regular uses. You know, you can see in that. The epistles, 1 Thessalonians, for instance, unto your walk, fill it unto you, to establish you, so on, to know your faith. And here, to know, that would be almost like a purpose, really, for the purpose of knowing. So in vain, that. So anyhow, this is quite a, you can make quite a study of even the little preposition, can't you?
Mm-hmm.
But you can see how you can't go far afield, you just get so bogged down, you don't know what you're doing. So you just get a little meaning, one sharp thrust, he says, into or in, and let's go at that, and here you are out in left field because you don't know, you know, ace, what was it, ace?
Ace.
What, we're on three? Yeah, ace Marturian, right. For a witness, as a witness. Into it. All right, Eric, did we finish the rest of it? This one came as a witness, for a witness, all right, Hinnah?
In order
that
we may receive him.
We might receive him, okay? Notice the emphasis on we, hemes. If this were in the New Testament, it would be that we might receive. See, the emphasis, they already have it in the translation here of the verb, and it's the aorist, that we might receive him all of a sudden, right now, one fell swoop, not a drawn-out thing, but receive and have and possess.
Yes. Is the martyrion.
Martyrion, a witness?
Is that
a
witness?
As a witness.
As a witness?
Yeah, as a witness. See, that's a noun. See, martyria is hey martyria, which is the martyr or the witness. A couple of weeks ago, I think we had that one, right? Mm-hmm. As a witness. See, as the noun. See, for a witness. Or anything else? Hutos. Sometimes hutos is this one, meaning he came. See, this one came, he came. As a witness. Meaning John the Baptist. I think this is what the John the Baptist did. Any other question on three? All right, four. Our hopes for the Gospel of John translation are fast dwindling.
Aaron.
All right, Aaron.
Lithus.
Hena.
Balosin.
Balosin. Probably because it's not accented. Balosin, probably a short I.
Epauton.
All right. What do we have there? Aaron from Iro.
That was I. This from Iro took up.
That's right. Would this be imperfect or aorist?
That would be an imperfect.
Imperfect. All right. They were taking up.
I missed it.
Therefore. Lithus stones.
In order that.
They might throw at him. Or upon him, literally. Upon Epi. Like upon the earth. Now, is this Balo present or this Balo aorist?
That's aorist.
So you see that they might, just once for all, the action is that they might throw at him, not a long drawn out thing, just quickly, just in maybe one volley and kill him all of a sudden. All right, any questions on four? All right, five. Let's read the Greek verse, please.
Was that epi? Is that
upon or at? Yes, upon him or at him. You know, you throw a stone at him, but if as they understand, they stoned them in a pit, lower, so he couldn't escape. You know, it's usually upon, right down on his head, see, on him, but at him is good enough for anger standpoint. Any other questions on four? All right, number five.
Tokta.
Amen.
Jesus.
Right, Jesus.
Autois.
Autois.
Amen.
To.
Hero.
Hero. All right, what do we have there?
These things.
Jesus said
to them. In the temple.
Okay, these things Jesus said to them in the temple. Any questions on that? Five. Let us go on with the English to Greek on page 83. Yes? Have a question? Okay. How shall we receive it?
Post.
All right, we got it. Now this is receive is lambano. Future.
Excuse me.
This is the deliberative subjunctive. Yes, right. Naturally. Post. All right, shall we receive lambano?
It's para.
Para labon.
You will use in the aorist?
Because
labon.
That's the aorist form of I receive.
Mm-hmm. All right. So you used how shall we receive them instead of the present. Because you're in the aorist, you're practicing up. All right. Para labomen.
There would be no augment, right?
No. Para labano, see. If you want to say that. But if you want to just say labano.
I thought it's per.
It's pere.
Pere.
Labon.
Sure it is.
No,
in the second aorist, it's pere ad labon.
Not in the subjunctive, see. You wouldn't have the augment.
No, pere labon is just the second aorist form.
Right.
Para.
Labon.
But subjunctive.
Par elabon. I know, but see, par elabon, you see, is your indicative. See, but you don't have that augment.
You wouldn't have the augment.
You reverse yourself and go to the para labon. So para lab.
Very good.
Para lab. Very good at paralabo. But I would throw away the para and go into the lambano, which also means you're Steve, then you don't have to worry with the arguments.
I won't trail with that one anymore. It just blew me.
I would just say lambano men, see. Post lambano men, or para lambano men, or labo men, if you want. Post labo men, if you want to say, or para labo men.
I still don't understand why you can't use the aorist. Is it because
you can use it, lab. You can use the lab. I said para labo men. It's okay. Well, you see, that's the argument.
That's the
problem. In the executive, you've got para el labon. But you see, in the aorist, you see it.
Okay.
It's right. Lipo. See, aorist, second aorist, lipo. See. You got elephane is the indicative, but the subjunctive is lipo. You drop that, see.
Well, what, you know what goofs me up is the fact that they call it aorist and put the augment with the second aorist, whereas the augment has nothing to do with being aorist. The augment has to do with making it past tense. The aorist has to do with the type of action.
That's true.
So that goofs me up, see. When
but in the indicative, it is both. It is the past tense and the type of action, see. It's a combined curriculum. You might say it's combined there. Two things in a row. So in the indicative, we have both. But that is true. Aorist principally is the type of action, but the augment is there to show it's a different form of the present and so on.
I'd almost rather understand that you drop, you know, you change that, so instead of giving it as a vocab word, which threw me off automatically, is using that para.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Forget about that augment.
Yeah, they got the vocabulary word way back a couple
Yeah, well, you get it back in page 78, and I immediately just carried it on, but I forgot that's just an augment there. You got to...
Mm-hmm.
You've got to drop it.
Paralabon, I received, yeah. Paralabon.
For the subjunctive, you've got to drop it.
That's right. Paralabon.
Yeah.
Paralabon.
Okay. Well, lessons learned.
All right, any questions further on that? Receive post paralabomen or para, just plain labomen, autus.
Autus.
All right. Number two, let us not become evil prophets. And the hortatory subjunctive or the deliberative subjunctive to become
genomai.
Our genomai is it. So here would be, if you want to use the aorist to begin,
begin.
Genomai is the present. Gen would be your aorist if you wish to use that. How shall we become? But here would be again. Well, it wouldn't be again. It'd be genomen, right?
No, it's a deponent, isn't it?
Oh yeah, genomen. Genomen. You're right, deponent. It is like a middle from genoma. You're right. Genomata. Post genomata. No argument. Post genomata. If you want to aorist, since we're practicing aorist. How shall we become? Well, let us not become ooh genomata. Let us not become ooh genomata. Mm-hmm. Subjunctive, hortatory.
Ooh can come first.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Ooh genomata.
Ooh can come first.
Mm-hmm. Evil prophets.
Could it be may? It's aim.
Oh, it has to be may.
May.
Pardon me. May genomata. Let us not become because so subjunctive uses may. Yeah.
You got it.
Can't be who has to have the indicative with it. May, genomatha, prophets, prophetas, evil.
So that'd be
tus, poneros, or kakus, if you want. Tus kakus.
Gotta put the
tus kakus, yeah, put the tus kakus, that's right.
Now, would that be?
Tus kakus.
Is it
tus kakus plural?
So it's got to be prophetas
instead of prophetas, right?
No, I've got a nominative.
No sigma.
It's ta. Prophetas has to be feminine.
It has to be feminine.
Both Manny and I.
Ta would be the neuter.
We both put it in the nominative. How about become?
I said it to be in the sense.
Like the word to be.
Didn't I?
Right. All right, we'll let you go with that.
Yeah, well,
it is. Maybe you're
that
right.
That was from
maybe
last week.
Yeah, maybe it is
from last week.
Yeah, it's like the word to be. It could be a nominative. In fact, it may be only the nomination of acceptable.
In fact, that's probably what it should be.
Yeah,
let's
probably
not
so.
Become evil prophets. There's no action being applied to the evil prophets.
It's almost a linking verb.
That's right.
Become. If you had the other, I don't know if we could talk off because something. It's not exactly B, but I think that's you're right. So in that case, it'd be prophetai, hoi, kakoi, right? Evil prophets. Or poneroi, if you want to use poneros. All right, for evil, any questions on that?
Well, what are we going to do because Larry made it a direct object?
That's okay. I would take it both. I think it's a legitimate
take
either
16.
One. May genomitha.
I'll find something here.
Prophetai, rather. Hoi kakoi.
Yeah.
All right. Number three, what shall we eat? Again, the deliberative subjunctive. If it's in the aorist, go ahead and eating, of course, is estio. And the aorist of that would be.
We had to look up the word. What?
Well, estio and the eating is.
I know estio, but.
Ephagon. Ephagon. Fago.
I didn't know that.
What's that?
Fago.
Ephagon.
There's a place somewhere with
Ephagon. Ephagon is the
aorist.
And you've got to go to the.
Fago, man. You got to go to the subjunctive.
You got to go to the subjunctive, so you when you just use estio?
Well, that would be in the present if you want to see estio. If you want to go in the aorist, you slip in the fago, man. What shall we eat? What would be what? T? What?
T.
T.
It's T for what?
Shall we eat fago, man? T fago, man. What shall we eat? Or T estio, man? T estio, man.
Either
you
want
to put it in the present. What shall we eat? But if you want to stick the aorist, T fago, man.
Okay, but where does. Is it Fagelman or F?
No, it's the Abbey the augment. See, remember, okay. Ephagon is the F is the augment. That's the indicative
so
only. But you drop that Fagelman. Yeah, that's
well,
your subjunctive. See, like
I didn't know it was an augment.
See, it's just like this word lapo. See, in the aorist, right. Second aorist is elipon. Elipon. See.
No,
elephon is there, so lipo, elephon, but you see, you drop the N, you go the lipo, lip face. See, there's no epsilon, no augment on there, see. So just remember. Yeah?
Okay, but I guess you get lost on knowing what the real root word
yeah,
is.
Yeah, that's true.
I thought that was the root word.
Well, like
the aorist.
Estio, estio is the root, eh. It begins with, that's not an augment, estio
right.
Is the real root
yeah,
word,
right.
See. But in the aorist, ephagon, eh is the augment, see. Because second aorist. See, all second aorists have augments.
Oh, no, they don't.
Always the F.
Huh? Heurisko.
It is an augment.
Heurisko is an augment slipped in there quietly.
Well, it's the aoristic form of heurisko.
Well, where are you looking at?
Heron.
Where?
Page 78.
Yes, it is. When you get an A, an alpha iota,
Heron.
It goes to an eta when it's for the augment. That's
yeah.
One of the rules.
Right, so it has no augment.
Yes,
well,
does.
Heresco, but Heron, it just
is an imperfect.
Swallows it up.
Huh?
Heron here is the second aorist. See, he's saying there's no particular extra augment.
That's heresco. Not a second aorist.
That's
an imperfect.
No, that's a second aorist.
According
to the book, page 78.
It says on page 77, second aorist.
78.
78.
So we're looking at the second aorist, you see.
And you look on 77, it says second aorist indicative act.
Where?
Put top of page 78, second word down.
All right, but
I found.
But wait a minute, but what? I found.
See, second word down.
Okay.
So that means.
But that word is taken up, isn't it?
Heron.
It's
from aorist, but defined.
It's,
huh? Defined, it's yeah.
From
heurisco.
No, it's from aero.
No, that's iro.
Iro.
Heurisco
is
defined.
This is heurisco.
Heurisco. Heurisco.
Well, maybe I'm looking at the wrong word.
Yeah, 78, the second from the top.
See, so if we're going to be consistent, eschan, that means that the root is skan, and I can't even pronounce it. And I'll bet, how about ephagon? You know that ephagon then has that
there's ephagon. The word to eat. Where is our eating word right there in page 78? Ephagon.
Yeah, right.
Estio. Ephagon, yes.
That's why we were confused. What Larry is saying is echo, for instance, goes to
eschon.
Yeah, who says so, that's an augment?
So it looks like the et would be an augment, and
it
yet
it wouldn't be.
In estio, it goes to ephagon, and you're supposed to knock off the augment to get the root.
Well,
you just have to know that, and we didn't.
Yeah.
Maybe I should say usually have the augments, but let's take a look at the heron. Because Manny said that's the imperfect. See?
Well, no, for question four with the heron.
Yes.
That's I thought it was an imperfect for aero.
Yeah.
And what you would do is the alpha iota drops and it takes up and but maybe well I that's not
aero, yeah,
that's
cool.
Aero. It would pick up the eta, and so you would have an imperfect verb.
Mm-hmm. Put it this way, man. When you have a verb beginning with a vowel, especially if that vowel is epsilon, sometimes you have disguised augments. Shall we say that?
Sneaky augments.
See, they figure they've already got it in there. Why add to the confusion? Now, in many instances, you have a lengthening, what we call a temporal augment, where you take the vowel from the epsilon up to the eta, you know. Then you can see it's a real augment. It's a temporal augment. Sometimes you have a syllabic augment. Sometimes you have a reduplication.
But am I examining what I'm saying? Looking on page 42, paragraph 70.
42, paragraph 70, yeah.
And where it says epsilon becomes eta, then alpha iota becomes, of course it has a subscript.
Yeah, that's correct. Normally that's true.
So it says aerons.
For the aeron, you're right.
It could be an imperfect.
That's right.
Active.
As far as the aeron there, that's
right. It could
be
an imperfect active verb out of aeron.
That's right. Yeah, he was speaking of the heron, though, which is on page 78, found. And eschon, that's a possible argument because it's an epsilon. It's hard to know exactly, but you just have to, for instance, aelthon, that's got the eta right up there, so you know that's aelthon.
How in the world do you pronounce that if you take the augment off?
Aelthon, you mean?
Yes.
Well, I guess you could say aelthon.
Aelthon.
Aelthon, aelthon. Aelthon, aelthon. All right, so... We've
got to watch that.
Moved along to what paragraph are we at? 195.
We
got to really roll along here. Merrily we roll along. What shall we eat? We've gotten that then. Fago men. The servants came in order that they might find the children. What do you have there? The servants came. The Thomas Erkamai.
Okay.
Elpon is the heiress. The servants.
Okay, so that's our regular
hoi duloi. That's right. Hoi duloi. Nail it down. Came from Elpon.
Elpon.
Same word. Elpon, the first singular. Elpon, the plural. They. Remember? And the first second heiress. Second heiress, just like in the imperfect. The first singular and the third plural are identical.
Hoi
duloi Elpon. In order that. Hina. They might find the children. The find is Jerisco. If you want it in the Arish, it's Heron.
I blew that one too.
Heron.
You got to drop the augment.
They might find, here you want that they might find, have to be in the subjunctive.
Herosi.
So it would be what?
Herosi.
Herosi. All right, they might find. Herosi.
Drop.
Herosi.
So what do you do? You drop it.
You can't drop that augment because you can drop the invisible augment.
Yeah.
But you can't drop the real augment. Jerisco. Up to Heron is
got it by default.
Invisibly augmented. See, you drop the invisible augment, you got the Heron.
You get it by default.
Heron.
No, I got Heuriscosi. That's not right.
Well, you can have it in the present tense.
Oh, okay.
Heuriscosi, if you wish. You don't need the aorist necessarily. You can put the
Osi, that's it.
Heuriscosi or Heurosi. Heurosi from Heron.
All right.
Heuriscosi. Heuriscosi is the
present
subjunctive.
Okay.
Heriscosi or Herosi is the heir, second heir.
Okay.
But they might find the children.
Ta-tekna.
Ta-tekna. Any questions on that? All right, number five then. Any questions on four? Number five, in the 2 minutes that remain, he died that men might have life. Here we were with that. Ten verses in John. He died. The apothenesco is the regular present, and apethanol.
Okay.
Apethanol. Pethanet. He died. That.
Hina. Or.
Hina. Men.
Or anthropoi,
might have life and have his eschon in the eris, echo, eschon, so
we did.
Men, that they might have.
I didn't get that.
Yes, you did.
Eschon, right in there in that vocab.
Yes.
Okay.
So they might have. They might have eschon.
So,
no, it's Bion.
Oh, Bion.
Bion.
Eschon.
It's that they might have eschon as the subjunctive, second aorist, eschosi, that they might have, right?
What is present subjunctive for that? That's
well, that would be have, echosi.
Echosi. Would that be acceptable?
That's acceptable, echosi, that they might have, or that eschon, eschosi.
Now, do you...
Or if you wish, if you just want to say skosi, I don't know whether the epsilon is the augment or not, frankly. Skosi.
Okay, you don't drop that epsilon. I just missed the. I didn't use the wrong ending.
Yes,
on
you
it.
See, yeah, that's you missed the present ending with the.
It should be a subjunctive. That should be subjunctive. I mixed the eris with the eris subjunctive. I knew that.
Now I'm starting.
Eskes is second eris. Eskes, second aorist, indicative. See if we get a subjunctive. Eskekoto, perfect.
Okay, but.
Eskiste is first aorist passive. So first aorist passive, eskiste. So apparently you put the esk on there, but I'm just trying to think. I wonder if I could look at a skosi. Well, echosi would be the easier way to go on that, echosi, but...
I'm glad we're going Greek to English in the Bible.
Yeah, that's a good sign.
That way we don't have to figure it all out.
That's right. God already figured it out.
I would have known if he would have told us.
Let me see if I find any skosi.
He would have said that those were augments. No.
Well, they're not all
men.
Some are. Not all of them.
Ah, yeah, I'm right. Look here. That is an augment. Eschon is the augment epsilon. The aorist is skol. Skol. First person singular. Second aorist. Subjunctive of echo. Skol. So it's skosi. Drop that epsilon. Skosi. Got it? That's right in there. Skolmen is the aorist subjunctive of
so that the augment shouldn't be on there? Should be.
That's right. It's skosi. Skosi. I won't take off anything on that because who would know, you know, where, as he points out, what the augment is, what it isn't. I mean, you just have to know the roots.
I wish he had answers in this book.
Yeah, that'd be great. Any other questions on that one? All right, count them up, subtract. The total is 70 points. 70 points. So what have we?
You did good, Larry. Amazing.
70 points?
68 over 70.
All right, 68. That's 97%. Who's that for?
Larry.
Okay. What else do we have?
I missed the line.
63.
All right, that's the 63. Okay, that's... what did I do here? What's the total? I say 70?
70.
Yeah.
90
or
92, 91, something like that. What'd you say, 63? 63. I still got 90%. Is that 90%? See, I got a 0.9. I couldn't figure it out. Who's that one?
That's Manny.
That's Steve?
No, it's Manny.
Oh, okay, Manny. Okay. Well, you dropped a little bit on that one, Manny. Huh? All right, who else got a number?
62, I was saying.
62, all right. That's 88.5, be 89%. Who's that?
That's Steve.
Steve, okay. That's a little difficult, wasn't it?
Well, it was a fact. You know, I lost every one in these augments.
Oh, you didn't take that? I see, okay. You lost everyone?
On all the augments. That's the one.
Yeah, that augment is it's a little tricky in there. Four. A little tricky.
Well, if he would have said it was an augment, I would have known.
Yeah, right. Any other questions?
Okay, do you want these?
Yes, if you finish with them, bring them right up here and we'll keep them. Look them over and see what you got.
I always do that. These techniques.
Okay, this. All right, well, why don't you please close the word of prayer as we close tonight? The Lord will lead you.
Father, again, we're thankful, dear Lord, that you've given us another day. And Lord, that you've given us also an opportunity to go forward into another semester to build upon what we've learned before. Help us, Lord, to retain this information, to be able to sort out, Lord, the things that are somewhat confusing to us. Lord, we pray, dear Lord, that you would give us a desired spirit of diligence, and Lord, that we would examine the language, Lord, that we might be able to use it to your glory and honor. Lord, I pray you'd be with our professor through the week, and Lord, and enable him to ready himself, dear Father, for the instruction, Lord, that we need. Give us a safe journey as we go, and Lord, I pray that you bless each and every one of us. In Jesus' precious name, amen.
Amen. Okay, keep up the good work, gentlemen. We'll see you next week.